And I bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome each and every one that's here and the visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be gathered together this morning to worship. It is surely is a beautiful day. I stepped out there just a few minutes there between Sunday school and church, and it's really warm outside. Yeah, it feels almost like spring out there, so that is good too, but it's good to be here again this morning. Last Sunday, Lois and I were away. I was at Her Street there in Harrisburg for Pulpit Exchange. It was good to be there and worship with them. They have a very small congregation there. I think there was 22 or 26, maybe, I forget, there that morning. But yeah, it was good to be there, but it's also good to be back here this morning. And yeah, but for this morning, for a message, we'll be continuing our study here in 1 Peter. We're ready for the beginning of chapter 3. And for those of you that were here 2 weeks ago, we shared a message on marriage. And yeah, this would kind of maybe be a little bit, maybe an extension of that, not really realizing it as such until I got to studying through it and looking at it. But yet, there's a lot more in here than that. It's not just about marriage, but there's a lot more in here than just that. You know, all of us have a lot of great responsibilities in our Christian life. We have different roles. God has each one of us as different roles, different responsibilities. We all have different things that we are called to do. You know, if you look around us today, we see so much in our culture about political correctness. And there's many people today that are rejecting what the Bible has said. Lois had to go to the dentist this week and had to do some things. And I forget what all she had to fill out, but you know, whether she was a male or female, and whether she was born as a male or female, and whether she was, I mean, it was like 6 or 8 questions regarding that. I'm like, what in the world? what have we become in this world? But yeah, moving on from that, as Christians, we know what the Bible says, and that ain't what the message is about, but thinking about political correctness and some other things made me think about that. But we know what the Bible has said, and as Christians, we are called to be obedient. We are called to do what the Bible says. Many people will try to say what's in the Bible don't simply fit anymore in the culture and the day and age in which we live. But we know that is not true either, that the Bible back in Isaiah tells us that the grass will withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God will stand forever. In other words, what God has said will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to recognize that we are called to be obedient to the Scripture, and we are called to live according to God's world. If we approach the Bible with the mentality that the world has, it will result in a very sinful and selfish attitude. It will result in pride and selfishness. Too many people live today with the me, me, me attitude. What's in it for me? What am I getting out of it? What's it going to benefit me? What am I going to get from this? Sad to say, as I mentioned, thinking about marriages just briefly, there's a couple of verses in here that will apply to that. But many marriage relationships live as if it is a 50-50 relationship. If I'm giving my share, the rest does not matter. But we know not only in marriages, but in all of life, we need to give 100% of ourselves. We need to continue to surrender and give 100%, whether it's in our marriages, whether it's in our jobs, whether it's in the things we do, whether it's in our families. Too many people also live with the thought of, what am I going to get out of it? What is it going to benefit me? Chuck Swindoll once said, a good home or a good marriage, he kind of tied the two together, is not so much as finding the right person as it is in being the right person. Are we willing to give of ourselves in everything we do? I trust that each one of us are surrendered to God, or those of us here that are Christians, and we are willing to give in the areas that we need to give to be all that God wants us to be. As we go through this message this morning, we want to look at different responsibilities that we have in the home. The title of the message this morning is Strong Christian Homes. This passage of Scripture isn't so much just about the Christian home as such, but there's a lot of things that we're going to be looking at here this morning that if we apply them to our lives and do them, that they will help us to not only have strong Christian homes, but to have strong witnesses in the community of having a strong Christian home. If you haven't turned with me yet, you can turn with me at this time. We'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection or in submission to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, may be won by the conversation of their wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be with that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price or very precious." Verse 5, after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We're looking at three different parts here again this morning to the message. The first part is the role of responsibility and submission. So we talked about this passage, talks brings in briefly the thought of marriage and marriage relationships. But each passage of Scripture that talks about marriage relationship many times gives us the same principles, or they all give us the same principles. I think I said many times, but they all give us the same principles. The first verse here in our text brings out some things that sometimes I believe that we see that it's people struggling with it many times in relationships today. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection," or "be in submission to your own husbands." And I believe I brought out this maybe 2 weeks ago, but just a little refresher, just kind of to bring out a little bit more what the verse says. I believe that first of all, us as husbands need to love our wives unconditionally. But second, that will give us our wives a lot, make it a lot easier for them to be in submission or subjection to our leadership and to us as the leaders in the home. But thinking of submission, there's some other things we want to think about. There's many areas that submission exists. Fathers are called to lead their families, and we need to submit to that calling. You know, many times you hear the phrase, we probably all heard the phrase, happy wife, happy life. If your wife's happy, then everything's going to be happy. Well, there's some truth to that, but there's various reasons why the wife may be unhappy or happy. But, you know, us as husbands and father needs to stand up and take our proper places. You know, it's pretty easy for us as men to just sit back and let the ladies take care of what needs to be taken care of. We come home from a day of work and we're tired and we're ready to just sit back and relax. What if one of the children misbehave? Are we going to take our proper places and to do what needs to take place? We're to lead our families as husbands and fathers, and our wives and children can then be willing to submit under our godly authority. There are times that some women are not content to fulfill what God has for their life. You know, I could tell you of situations where that is the case, and there's one situation where there's some things happening within the home, and the comment was made that when she was a teenager at home, she always got whatever she wanted. And, you know, if she said things the right way and did things the right way, whether it was her mom and dad, they gave her everything she wanted. And so there, that creates a scenario that is violating the principle that we're talking about here this morning as well. But what I'm wanting us to understand that there are some situations that there's other things that need to take place for the proper roles and responsibilities to be happening as they need to be. I don't want to place all the blame on the husbands for not loving their wives if the wife isn't submitting, I guess to place it in a nutshell. The church, in the church, thinking a little bit more about submission, in the church, the body as a whole submits to Christ. God places leaders within the congregation and the church, and God has asked us to be submissive. I think it said in what we were watching there this morning by Rick Rhodes, it said, I forget how he said it, but nobody should ever, everybody needs to be under somebody somewhere. In other words, we all have to submit to somebody somewhere. That's one thing BMA is very, has been very, can I use the word strict on, is when they laid out their roles and responsibilities in the leadership, they kind of laid it out in the terms this way, that there should be nobody that is in a position that somebody can't pull the rug out from under them. In other words, there's nobody in a position that they don't answer to somebody. Somebody is always, everybody is always answering to somebody somewhere. Men and women have different roles and responsibilities. That doesn't make women any less important than a man. No, if anything, it makes them much more important as we look at some of the responsibilities. We won't be looking at a lot of that this morning. Did you ever hear the saying? I'm probably sure we all have heard this saying, behind every successful or good man is a good woman. And I believe that will carry true in many places, in many different areas. I remember Walter Beachy saying one time, some of us would know him. He's an older man now, probably. I'm not sure, he's in his mid upper 80s by now. But he said, one time I heard him sharing in a public setting, and he said, my wife was not an upfront lady she did not like to speak in a crowd, whether it was women, regardless of where it was. She was very quiet, very laid back, but he said, she supported me 110% in everything I did. He said she was behind me. And I thought, and he would have been a man that would have done many great things for the Lord in his lifetime. And that just came to me as I thought about, behind every great man is a good woman. Submission don't happen just on its own. It's only when we allow God to continue to do his work in us and through us that we can have submission. When we have completely surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you know, that's something that's not a once and done thing. It's a continual thing as we continue to surrender on a daily basis. It's only then that we can fulfill the responsibilities that God has for us. Submission does not make you inferior or less than or any of less value. We are all weak, equal in Christ, but our roles and responsibilities are different. If you think about that just briefly, Jesus was not inferior to God the Father. He just had a different role. He was not less than God. We think of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He was God in human flesh. There's parts of that we don't fully grasp or understand as humans, but he was not inferior to God. But yet he was obedient to his Father. God was the Father and he was the Son. He was obedient to his Father's will. And the same is true for us in life. The wife is not inferior to the husband. The children are not inferior to the mom or the dad. We just have different roles and responsibilities to fulfill. Another thing we want to bring out here is in verse 1 and 2, it talks about, the end of verse 1 and verse 2, it talks about that it may be through the obedience or through the wife being willing to be in subjection or submission to her husband that a husband may be one that is not a believer. Won't take a lot of time on that, but it is another point that is brought out. Part two we want to look at is inward and outward beauty. A number of years ago, there was a convention. Oh man, that's probably 15 years ago by now. They had a convention that was just titled Beauty. Walking as God Would Want Us to Walk, I think was kind of the title of it. There's a lot of good things, you know, and we won't go into a lot of depth in that, but what really is beauty? And we'll think just a little bit about that here this morning. Verse 3, I don't think it's saying here that what says, thinking about the ladies here again, who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning or plaiting or arranging of the hair and not wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. In some of my studies, I've seen that back in that day and age, one of the things that many people did then was to plait their hair and to weave different things within the hair to make it look stand out or make it look great. And I'm not sure what all that entailed, but basically to put on a big hairdo, if you want to say it like you're basically, but plaiting stuff and braiding stuff within the hair. And that's what Peter was talking about here, to not drawing attention to yourselves, to do things in a quiet and meek manner. I don't think it's saying that our ladies should not look nice. No, I believe it's quite the opposite. But rather that Christian women shouldn't do things to draw attention to themselves or to their bodies. Doing things to be noticed, whether it's how you do your hair or whether it's the things you wear. You know, and I'm going to be as blunt and as bold to say, and I believe this is very scriptural and very godly, if a man has to look away or to take his eyes away from a certain spot because of the clothes that you wear, you need to be very careful in how you're doing that. In other words, I'm thinking of low-necked things, tight fitting things along that nature. I just recently heard or seen a girl, she would have been raised in a conservative setting and has very dogmatic against conservativeness of any sort or modesty of any sort. And she was really ranting one day on a post somewhere about the Christian men just need a man up and take their responsibilities as men of God seriously and this and that and the other thing. And I said, okay, that is a point. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. That is a point. We do need to do that. But what about the unsaved man that you walk out on the street and you have him fall? Because of how you're dressed. There's more to that than what you're thinking or saying. And I'm going to be as blunt as to say, if you're doing things or dressing in a way that does cause another man to fail, I believe you will be held responsible for that part of it as well. So I think it's very important for us to understand. But thinking again about the Christian wife, back in Proverbs 31, I know a lot of women don't like the Proverbs 31 chapter, but I think it's a beautiful chapter because it paints a beautiful picture of what a godly lady can be and should be. And Proverbs 31, verse 30, it says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And I'm going to jump back and read a couple other verses back in verses 10 through 12 in Proverbs 31. "Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies, or she is invaluable or of great value. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." So we see a lot there in those verses that really bring out some of what we were talking about here, of a godly woman having inward beauty, one that is not wanting to be noticed by what she has on her outward appearance. Yes, I think it's good and proper for our ladies to dress nicely and properly and good. I want to add this to what I was saying just momentarily there ago. There was a couple that we would have known, been very close to probably 20 years ago, and she made the comment. She said this one time. She said, "I want to look nice and dress attractive when we go out in public so that my husband isn't enticed to look at other women." But you want to know something? In less than 2 years, her husband failed morally, majorly. And so it's not that that's going to keep your husband's one to your heart. So we need to be careful in some of the things that we are doing and thinking. Verse 4 tells us what God wants from a Christian, what God wants a Christian woman or Christian, you know, we're thinking of all the things that we're tying together here of the Christian home. In other words, verse 3 says what it should not be in verse 4, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament or the beauty of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price or very precious." So we see here that inward beauty translates into a meek and quiet spirit. It is the inward beauty that comes from within a woman that will make her of great value and great worth. Husbands, leaders in the home, we have a great responsibility to help our wives and our daughters understand this. Young men that are here this morning, I don't care what age you are, if you're not married, when you're looking for a marriage partner, find somebody that is willing to be submissive and come under the authority of her father. If you have somebody that is very rebellious against her father, rebellious against a church, and you marry her in that state, you better be ready, as you're going to be set up for a lot of heartache. Look for somebody that has a beautiful inward beauty and inward beauty from within the heart. And yes, I want to be careful. All of us as young people go through stages where we have to find our own way, where we probably, and I don't know why this is, but all of us as young people go through a little bit of stage of rebellion, of not thinking our parents know a whole lot. So I want to be careful. I don't place too much, whatever you want to say, on that. But yet there is a theme there that we need to be on guard and watch for. I think sometimes part of the problem we have today that the fathers and the men in the homes have not been submissive in our roles and responsibilities. And we have been neglecting them, so the women just naturally start to fill them. There's another situation where the husband and wife, he was more of an introvert, she was more of an extrovert. In other words, he was very shy and laid back, and she was very outspoken and very forthright, very bold, very that type of a person. Not that that type of person is a bad person, but yet she was just naturally more of a leader than he was, I guess is how to say it. And one time something was brought up, and he made the comment, I'd rather she just do it and say it, because she can say it and do it much better than I can. So there, you got to be careful in situations like that too, where we're following and walking in submission. But a couple more things yet, thinking about this before we move on. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 15, brings out a lot more about some of this. It says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel or shamefacedness. That's not a word we use a whole lot today. In other words, modest apparel, shamefacedness brings out the thought of humble humility and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection or with all submission. I suffer not, or I do not permit a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So we see there again the thought of the women being in modest apparel and not putting on, drawing attention from the outward part of their body. Do we trust the plan that God has laid out for our roles and responsibility within the home? Or do we want to do things in our own way? God has a reason for laying out the responsibilities as He does. God has a reason for giving us the principles in His Word as He does. You know, it's a little bit like I said before, a young child, many times if you tell them to not touch a hot stove, almost not every child, but almost every child wants to touch it just to see what happens, because that's just part of the nature of wanting to see what happens. And sometimes I think we carry that mentality into adulthood of, why are we being told this? Maybe not so much just in these principles we're looking at this morning, but other things in life. But God has, as parents, we know what will happen if a child touches something hot, and we're trying to protect them from that. And as adults, as brothers and sisters, as Christians in the world that we live in today, God knows what it takes to be faithful and to be pure and to be holy. And that's why we are given the principles that we are given here in the Bible, and some of them that we are looking at today. The next couple verses there talk about learning from those that have gone on from before. Verse 5, the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. In other words, there's a lot of women that we could look at as examples in the scripture. Verse 6, it gives us one, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. I'm thankful this morning for the many examples we have in scriptures of those that went on before. We have a great privilege of knowing the many times the reason of why it is the way it is. The last thing we want to look at is the men's responsibility a little bit. Men, I think I mentioned this maybe the other time, but it's not our responsibility to make sure that our wives submit. You're going to submit to me or else. You know, I've heard some statements like that made, not in my home, not but in other people that we've talked to and worked with. Verse 7 brings out the exact opposite of that. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge or according to understanding, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as becoming heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may be not hindered or be not hindered. So it's there, we are to give honor to our wives. I believe Peter is really saying here that also God has called the wife to submit and to recognize the leadership of their of the husband. The husband also is called to, as a great opportunity, and it gives him a much greater responsibility to honor and to love his wife. As Peter says here, to give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, he's not just merely saying that the woman is weaker than men. He is saying that men are to honor and to love his wife in the role that God has called her to. Support her in what she is doing. Develop a loving and gentle relationship and behavior toward her. It also, as it's said there, dwell with them according to knowledge or according to understanding. It also requires us to live with our wives in an understanding way. You know, most of what we're talking about here is not something that comes to any one of us naturally, whether it's the husband or whether it's the wife, whether it's the children, whether it's the home, as we're thinking a little bit about this morning. But it all has to do with each one of us surrendering and submitting to the authority of God in our lives, and allowing him to shape us and mold us. Our wives will need our constant reassurance every day. Most women, we find as we get around and talk, most women, not all women, but most women have a lower self-confidence than men do many times. They need the reassurance, they need encouragement. Do we recognize that our wives are a precious gift given to us by God? A survey done several years ago found that the average husband and wife really only share about 30 minutes a week in actual communication. I was shocked when I seen that. That's, well, I didn't even figure out what that would be, but that's less than 5 minutes a day. 30 minutes a week in actual communication, that's less than 5 minutes a day. Are we communicating together? Are we talking together? We need to be men, we need to be leaders without being harsh and stubborn and trying to use our wives as a doormat. Seen somewhere it said it like this: treat your wife as if she were an expensive vase. My wife's one uncle had never got married and has a lot of possessions, earthly possessions. And one time he brought a lamp to a family gathering. It's probably 20 years or more ago now that he had bought. It was an antique lamp that he had paid $14,000 for. And I want to tell you, you kind of looked at that lamp, but you really didn't want to touch that lamp because you did not want to be responsible if anything happened to it. But do we treat our wives in that as a delicate, something precious, something that is of great value? We need to put forth effort, and this would go for all of us, put forth effort to our responsibilities, to nurture, to build up, to encourage, whether it's a husband, whether it's a wife, whether it's a children. Husbands, men in the home, fathers in the home, encourage your young daughters of the importance of being modest, and not just of the importance of it, but why is it, why that is it important? Women don't fully understand how men process things and how men think. The natural tendency of man is to be turned on by sight, and women don't fully understand that. We need to help our daughters and our wives to understand that. I've probably said this before, I know I have somewhere along the way, but most of us men were pretty good at treating our wives respectful while we were dating. But what about when we're married 10 and 20 and 30 years? Are we still treating them with the respect and the honor they are due? I want to be very careful. I am not perfect in this area in any way, shape, or form. We all struggle with this. Every one of us here this morning is something that we need to work on. If we do it God's way, it creates a beautiful picture and it works. The title of the message this morning, as I had shared, was Strong Christian Homes. Maybe not so much on the daily functions of the home, but more on what is portraying from our homes, how we live, how we act, how we dress. What is the witness and testimony that is coming from our homes? A while back, we heard of a situation where the neighbors were talking about, and these were supposedly professing Christian people, but the neighbors were talking about how much screaming and yelling and fighting they heard coming from that house. And it wasn't that they had real close neighbors either. They were probably, the closest one was probably 300 or 400 yards away. And most of them were farther than that. And the reason I say that, it wasn't like they were two houses 20 feet apart where they could easily be heard. What is being portrayed from our homes? Are we taking our roles and responsibilities seriously? Are we living as God intended? You know, it's not just to create or promote a good picture in a community, but it's more to back up and understand, and even though that's part of it, we are to be a good witness and a testimony. It's to back up and to, are we being obedient to what God has for us in life? A couple things in closing. Are we willing to fulfill the responsibilities that God has for us? Wives, are we willing to be in submission and subjection to your own husbands? Husbands, are we willing to dwell with our wives according to the honor and to according with understanding, giving honor to them? Young people, children here this morning, are we willing to come under the authority that God has placed in our lives and live in subjection to God's will? There's a lot of things as we are growing up we don't fully understand, and that's all part of growing up too. But we have to recognize that I often say it like this. I wish I could go back and be a young person again with the understanding I have now as an older person. It would make me look at life a whole lot differently. But that's not possible to do. We know we can't do that. But understanding how much, when there's times when it feels like maybe your parents are being harsh or maybe unloving or unkind, or maybe they're you're just old-fashioned, you know, all of them thoughts went through my mind too. There was a care and a love that they had, that they've understood things from a different light than we do many times. Young girls of any age here this morning, if your fathers are asking you to dress modestly, understand why that is important. Or maybe if you don't fully understand it, do it because it is the right thing to do. And all of us have a great responsibility to fulfill as we think about some of this. If we are living in submission and subjection, most of all, are we willing to be obedient to what God has for us in life? For those of us that conveniently can, let us kneel for prayer.